Amen. Hallelujah. I so appreciate you bringing your supply of faith and just hunger for Him, right? We can't do this without that. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, it's often said, but it's needed to be repeated, that there's three parts to having a good service or to doing what God wants to do. You know, God has His part. The minister has his part. I have a part. But you have a part. And we see that God's always on His game, and I endeavor to always be on my game when I step in this pulpit. But you need to be on your game when you sit in those seats. Because in Mark chapter 6, God was ready, the minister was ready, but the people weren't. And they missed out of what God had for them. And so thank you for bringing your hunger and your worship and your supply in the spirit of faith. But if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18. Now, I had sent out a slick text this week about marching orders we got, and some of you might not have understood or know what that meant, but while you're turning there, and before we pray, I'll just say this. You know, this past week was camp meeting at the Fredonia Family Church with Pastor Michael, who's my pastor, but he's also the apostle and the prophet that stands in those offices to the family churches, and he's got a voice that carries weight, and I can't tell you how much those meetings absolutely changed my life. And in those meetings, I got direction. That's what I mean by marching orders. When you get your marching orders, that's telling you what you have to do. And I got direction not only personally for some things in my life, but I got direction for the church. And it's not anything we've never heard before, not anything that we haven't talked about before, but it's something that was clearly put on my heart and in my spirit that we have to start doing and stepping up our game, and that is in the area of prayer and the area of corporate prayer specifically. And, you know, Wednesday night I'm going to talk more about it. And so if you can be here Wednesday, please be here. But if you can't, we'll have live stream and fill you in on some things, because we are going to be making some changes around here to open a door or make a path available for corporate prayer. Because there is a mandate on this ministry. There is. There's a mandate on the family churches, but then each of the family churches, you know, will do their thing, and of course under one vision and stuff, but we know there's a mandate of signs, wonders, and miracles. We know that. It's been prophesied. It's been put in your pastor's heart. It's been spoken by ministers, countless ministers, over and over again. They keep picking up the same thing, you know. But we saw this week, and we'll see on Wednesday, that's what we're going to share about, that it doesn't matter what God wants to do. It doesn't matter what the plan is. Unless the people pray, it won't manifest. Amen? And so we'll talk about that more on Wednesday night, but just be willing to be inconvenienced. Because at sometimes, you know, I don't have corporate prayer because of the inconveniences that it might cause people, or just all the different logistical things that come into play as a pastor. You know, you're always so mindful of the sheep in their lives. You just care for them. But I know this, that we have to obey God, and sometimes in obeying God, we might be a little inconvenient. So we'll talk about more about that on Wednesday night. Amen? Amen. So that's what that text was about. We got marching orders to figure out how we're going to get those signs, wonders, and miracles and the harvest to come in. Because the signs, wonders, and miracles aren't for us to be the miracle church or to exalt Pastor Mike. Because I'm not the miracle worker. I don't know how to do miracles. I don't know how to do healings. I don't have that power. It's to magnify Jesus and to cause people to come unto Him. And the power is going to cause the crowds to come. The power is going to cause this place to be filled up where we need a second Sunday service, where we're going to have to figure some things out in this building. That's what's going to cause it to come. But it doesn't matter if it's been spoken. It doesn't matter if that's what the word is. We have a part if we're going to see it come to pass. And this week I got those marching orders, and so we'll talk about it Wednesday. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, help us today. We have a today. And today I know will help us, Father, in going into Wednesday. And Lord, this is a divine message from you, so I'm excited to preach it, Lord. It's what you put on my heart. So I thank you, Father, that it'll be spoken with boldness and utterance. It'll help people. It'll cause people to change. It'll cause people to go higher. It'll cause people to go deeper and further in the plan of God for their own life, but not only for that, to bring their supply to the church. So, Father, help us this morning. May I say what you want said. May we do what you want done. Father, not my words, your words. So, Father, as I open my mouth, I thank you and trust that you'll fill it with words from heaven. I will speak as the oracles of God. And, Father, I thank you lives will be changed and you'll get the credit and the glory. Father, I always want to be careful to make sure that you know that I am fully aware that I'm just the branch. Apart from you, I can do nothing. Father, I'm well aware of who I was before you, and it wasn't very impressive. There wasn't much to write home about. So, Father, we just thank you for your grace, your gifts, your abilities, your revelation, your insight, and your wisdom. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Amen. Well, in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18, it says this. Paul writing, now Paul, you know, did a lot for God. I don't know of any other Christian that was used more of God and had a bigger role than Paul had. Writing 2/3 of the New Testament, starting all these churches, reaching the Gentiles, speaking before kings, things like that. He said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. And Paul here wasn't shy about it, was he? It wasn't a doctrine or a topic in the Bible that he swept under the rug or was careful to tiptoe around it. No, Paul was clear. He said, I just want you to know, Corinthian church, that I'm praying in tongues all the time. Well, there must be a reason for that, right? There must be a reason for Paul praying in tongues all the time. We're going to look at some of those today, but praying in tongues is one of the greatest privileges that the New Testament believer can partake of, yet it is one of the most neglected things that are taught in churches and things that the body of Christ does partake of. And whether it's because of ignorance, whether it's because of fear, whether it's because of having no knowledge on it, I can say that confidently because the churches, you know, I grew up in a certain church, and my grandma that I always talk about, she grew up in a separate church. She went to a Baptist church. I went to a Methodist church, but I spent a lot of time with her and lived there on and off, you know. And I know her church never talked about it. I know my church never talked about it. I know that her church growing up never talked about it. And I know many of the churches that you came out of never talked about it. And in the body of Christ, it is so neglected. In fact, last night I shared this message, and a lady had come up who I believe told me that she's been going to church and been born again for 30 years. She got filled with the Holy Ghost last night and speaking in other tongues, but here she was, someone that loved the Lord, in church her whole life, and never received it, never was taught about it. But Paul here, that subject that is swept under the rug or not mentioned, Paul, again, we go with the Bible, not feelings. We go with the Bible, not people and opinions. Paul said, I do this more than you all. And I always say this is the billboard or the advertisement for speaking in tongues, right? This is the commercial. You know, I saw a commercial the other day, and I just can't get this out of my head. Have you ever heard of the product called Bug Assault? I saw this thing, and I thought it was a parody for something, and then it had the number, an actual phone number, and then I Googled, I thought, this is real. You put salt in a gun and it's got a little red thing and you shoot flies with it. Do you have one? Does it work? Is it fun? Doesn't work on carpenter bees, but it works on the flies. That sounds more fun than a fly swatter. But what was that commercial for? That commercial was what? To turn you on to the bug assault. And it did, it worked. I'm turned on. I want one. Now, that's not a faith in it. Don't be going out and buying me a bug assault. I'll get my own. You don't have to do that. But anyways, I say 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18 is the commercial for wanting to speak in tongues. The greatest Christian that was used by God did so much and was so victorious and had visions and revelations, who was caught up to heaven, who had Jesus personally speak to him, says, I speak in tongues all the time. So that should tell us, man, what is this about this speaking in tongues? Why is it so neglected? You know, there's places that will never talk about it. In fact, the devil's twisted it so much that there are ministries that are worldwide. I'm talking about thousands of people follow these ministries. On the radio stations that, you know, if you listen to just general Christian radio, some of the ministers that have programs on there have written books against the subject, have had seminars and conferences where hundreds, thousands of people come and they talk against this subject, yet the one that should matter never talked against it, but only bragged about it. Amen? Hallelujah. When he says that, he's not puffing his chest out and beating his chest and saying, I pray so much. No, he's bragging on speaking in tongues and what it's all about. If you look at it in context, he wasn't a prideful man by any means. But let's take a look today at this topic of speaking in tongues. Last night, we had three people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues in our service. And so if you're here this morning, and you say, I don't speak in tongues. Well, I believe after I even go further in the commercial and tell you all the... See, they have that commercial and you get turned on, but then it tells you all the things that it can do. Well, that's what today is. That's the commercial for it. And now I want to tell you all the things it can do for you. And all the things that can bless you. And so if you've not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and don't speak in tongues, today's your day. Three people got last night. And then Jacob over there, Jake's son, he got filled in the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost means with Pastor Michael. I had the privilege of leading him into that. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so what happened to him, what happened to those people last night, what happened to me in my apartment on Water Street in Fredonia, New York as a college student can happen to you. And it can change your life. Praise God. Amen. So, and I believe that once you hear the benefits, you say, I can't live without this. I need this in my life. And for those of you that are already filled with the Holy Ghost and have that ability to speak in tongues, I believe it's going to stir you up to do it more. Amen? That's what we need, to do it more. Because when we talk about Wednesday night and talking about praying out the plan of God, there are some things in the natural scriptures that God gives us that we can pray out. But we can take it to a much further and deeper and a more place where we can bring more power to the equation if we're all filled with the Holy Ghost praying in other tongues. Amen? So let's take a look at this. First of all, what is praying in tongues? What is this business of praying in tongues? Well, thank God the Bible tells us. Go to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 14, just a few verses up from where you already are. And, you know, when it comes to speaking in tongues, I know for me, I didn't know anything about it really. You just kind of heard people when I was unsaved make mention of tongues and you didn't really know what it was. And then I got saved, and Reverend Randy Nelbone, who led me to Jesus, was also trying to get me filled with the Holy Ghost, and he explained what it was. And so I sat back and I said to him, I remember sitting in his green lounge chair at his house, and he was in another part of his house in the living room, and I said, I want to hear you speak in tongues. I've never heard it before. What is this? Well, when he took off praying in tongues, I made up my mind, that's not for me. I'll pass on that. Well, why? Because it sounded like blabber, you know, gibberish, or just babbling. It wasn't, you couldn't comprehend, you know, naturally what was being said. It wasn't a known language. You know, I can't speak French, but when I hear French, I know it's French. I can't speak Spanish, but when I hear Spanish, I know it's Spanish. Amen? And so when I heard this, I thought, that's nothing I've ever heard before. That's not a language. That's not a thing. You know, that's not a thing. And I said, I'll pass on that. Well, the reason I passed on it is because what I heard in the idea of speaking in other tongues or a language that has never been spoken before, that does things to your mind and your flesh. It's confusing to your mind and your flesh. And your mind and your flesh don't like to be confused. Your mind and your flesh don't like to be left out of the equation. Your mind doesn't like to be in the category of not knowing and not included, right? It kicks and screams about that. And so I stayed away from it. But once I learned in the Bible exactly what it was. Remember last week we talked about for you to be transformed into what God has for you, it comes with a renewal of the mind. Well, you're going to see today that God has some blessings for you through the avenue of speaking in other tongues and being filled with the Holy Ghost. And if you don't renew your mind to what the Bible says, you'll be like me sitting in that lounge chair saying, I'm good, I'll pass on that because I didn't know any of the benefits. I didn't know what God said about it. I just went with what my flesh and my mind says. And that's what gets people into trouble. That's what keeps people out of the things of God. And so what is it? Well, the Bible tells us exactly what it is, which will then calm your fear. See, I didn't know this. And shame on him for not telling me. Of course, he did explain it to me afterwards. But when I just heard him speak in tongues, I thought, that's just crazy. My mind was saying, that's crazy. That's made up. That's gibberish. That's excess. You know all the thoughts that people have. But the Bible tells us clearly what it is. He says, Paul says in verse 14, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, he says, my spirit's praying. You see that there? It absolutely defines what speaking in tongues is right here. It's not some excessive thing that the charismatics do, or that the Pentecostals do, or, you know, it's not some emotional thing that people work up and then do because they're having some fake experience with God, or they just want to be considered radical or whatever. No. The Bible tells you what speaking in tongues is. It's very clear. It's your spirit praying. Amen? Excuse me. Now, real quick, go to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. This will help you. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. So it's my spirit praying. Hallelujah. This will help you. I don't know if I want this. No, you do want it. I know some of you right now are like me in the lounge chair, and you've already turned me off. You say, I know you said I could get filled today, but that's not going to happen. And I'm not going to receive that gift, and I'm not going to speak in tongues. Well, let me wash your mind with the word. Amen? Amen. Praise God. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your. Everybody say me. He's talking about you now. He says, your. I pray your. So he's specifically talking about the believer. He says, I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body. So he's talking about you. And he says, you have a spirit, you have a soul, and you have a body. Well, remember, we just saw that praying in tongues is nothing more than simply praying from your spirit. Remember, Paul said, if I speak in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. Well, the Bible tells you right here that you have a spirit. But it also tells you that you have a soul, which we've taught that before, your mind, your will, and your emotions, the mental realm. But you also have a body, don't you? Yeah. And so, you're a three-part being. Now, when you look at that three-part being, there's only one of those three-part beings that are eternal, that live forever, the spirit man. The body doesn't. And the mind, the Bible says that the mind needs to be renewed. But once we see Jesus, we're going to be as he is, know as he is. Our mind's not going to need to be renewed anymore. But our spirits, the Bible says, are alive unto God. They're the eternal man. The Bible says the outward man perisheth. What does that mean? We get older. We slow down, right? We lose our hair. We get gray. Things happen, you know, as you get older. The outward man perisheth. But the inward man is renewed day by day. What's that mean? The spirit man never gets old. The spirit man never gets feeble. The spirit man never slows down. Why? It's eternal. It's going to live forever. There's no lifespan on your spirit. So the Bible says that we're spirit beings. That's the real us. Paul said, when I pray in tongues, I'm praying from my spirit. Well, that makes sense that we wouldn't just pray from our natural man or from the soulical realm, the mental realm, because that's not even the realm that's going to be here forever. The spirit man's going to be here forever. And God gives us an opportunity to pray from that eternal man on the inside of us, the spirit man. Now that should cause some light bulb strings to be tugged in your mind. If they don't, I'll tug them for you. The word says that the things of the spirit are foolishness to man. Well, what does that mean? That when things of the Spirit happen, whether it's a move of the Holy Ghost, whether it's tongues, which is a spiritual thing, that your natural man is going to kick against that. That your physical man, the mental man, is going to kick against that. Why? It can't be understood by that. The things of God are not meant to be understood by your mind or your flesh. The best example I can tell you about that is Jesus. You didn't get saved because it made sense to your mind. In fact, if you start to really think about the whole salvation thing, it might be like, are we sure this happened? Mentally. Now, you can't talk me out of it in my heart. But if I start to really think, wait, he was born of a virgin? That's the Bible says. He was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life. He then went to the cross. And all the sins of mankind and the sickness of mankind and the poverty of mankind was placed on him. And then he died and he rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven on a cloud. Now he sits at the right hand of God. You can't comprehend that mentally. But in your heart, you can't. You can sit here all day and try to talk me out of salvation. And my head might think and say, wow, you're making some good points. But in my heart, you're never going to sway me. My spirit man, I receive salvation. You receive the things of God by the spirit man. You're not going to be able to receive this doctrine that will change your life, that the greatest Christian ever bragged about doing so much. You won't receive this if you try to figure it out up here. You won't receive it if you go with your flesh and say, that's a subject I'm uncomfortable with. The thought of praying in tongues is uncomfortable. You won't receive that way. You got to turn your mind off, turn the flesh off, and hear in here. Praise God. Amen? And we should know this, that it's important to be aware of this, that Paul said, when I pray in unknown tongues, go back to verse 14, Janae, 1 Corinthians 14:14, please. When I pray in unknown tongues, my spirit prays. Well, why would we want our spirit to pray? Well, John 4 and verse 24 says that God is a spirit. Hebrews 12 and verse 9 says that God is the Father of spirits. He's the daddy of spirits. You're not a natural being, ladies and gentlemen. I know we have a natural man, but that's not who you really are. The natural's passing away. The spiritual or the eternal lives on forever. And so why would we just take time doing everything from the natural standpoint when God himself's not natural? The Bible tells he's the Father of spirits. Well, he's our daddy, Father of spirits. Who are the spirits? We're the spirits. Amen. I mean, right now we have a body, but our spirit's housed in that body. And so praying from our spirit, well, why wouldn't we want to? That's the real us, praise God. So now we see what it is. Now let's look at the benefits. Go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. In verse 4, he says, being assembled together with them, he commanded they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, you've heard of me. So he's talking to Christians, people that are born again. How do we know? He's already died, rose again, appeared to them. They know he's risen. How do you get saved? You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart, Romans 10, 9, that God raised him from the dead. They saw it with their own eyes. They're now Christians. They're now born again. They're now saved. And he's telling Christians who are saved, heaven bound, have their ticket punched to heaven. He says, don't leave until you've got the promise that you've heard me talk about. Well, what's the promise he's talking about? We're going to see it's the Holy Ghost. Remember, he talked to them about the Holy Ghost. He said, it's better for you that I leave so I can send the Comforter. He had already told them all about this. And then he tells in verse 5 what that promise is. For John baptized with water, but you, you born-again Christian, you heaven-bound Christian, shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence from now. So he's saying, don't leave. There's something you need. It's called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's telling that to Christians. What's he saying? Salvation is not all that you need. Yes, salvation got you heaven, but that's what it got you. But there's other things that get you other things. Amen? Hallelujah. In verse 8 he says, he goes on to say, but you shall receive power. That word power is the Greek word dunamis. It means supernatural, miracle-working power. What's he saying to his beloved children or his Christians? He's saying, don't leave and go out into a world that's dominated and run by a stealer, a killer, and a destroyer. Don't go out there and your own life's going to suffer. But also, remember, he says, you're going to be witnesses unto me. You're going to have to spread the gospel. Well, you be a spreader of the gospel, the devil's going to oppose you. You do anything for God, there's going to be opposition. But see, the devil's not a natural opposition. He's a supernatural opposition. The devil has his own powers. The Bible says the power of darkness. The devil has power. He's good at what he does. And God said, if you're going to go out and take down that kingdom, he says, I can't have you do it in your own power. I'm going to give you from on high a supernatural endowment of dunamis, of supernatural miracle-working power, that if you'll wait and if you'll receive, you'll get this. And when you have power in your life, life is different. Life is easier. Life is more blessed, praise God. If you heard me use the example of my Amish friends, love them, they're great people, but you know what? Life is a lot easier in some areas for me than it is for them because I have power. They get a lot of rides with people to different places, but at times they have to take their horse and buggy, and I'll just come right out and ask them. You know, we have a funny relationship. They joke about me being English. I joke about their Amish things that they do, you know, and I'll say to them, I'll say, just tell me the truth. Is it annoying taking the horse and buggy? We hate it. Takes us forever to get to the next place. You know, they're so used to just zoop right to the place. Well, I don't have that problem when I want to go to the store. I don't have the, oh, it's going to take me this long. No, I just get in the car and go. Power. Well, and Jesus said, there's power that you need to have. Well, what was this associated with? Well, in Acts chapter 2, remember he said, don't leave until you get it. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, and the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind that filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them like cloven tongues as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, when you hear the term filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized with the Holy Ghost, they're interchangeable. Jesus used the term baptized with the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 1. And now in Acts chapter 2, it says they were filled. Well, when they were filled, they were baptized. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and. You see the and there. You can't separate the and. And began to speak in tongues. Now, I'm going to just say this. I don't have time to teach on this. I'll give you a place that you can. Well, actually, I will. Go to Acts chapter 10 real quick in verse 46. They said they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues. You can't separate the two. You have to know that the evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. How do we know? That's what the Bible tells us. They were filled and. They were filled and. Acts chapter 10. There is no verse 46. Oh, yes, there it is. I was on the wrong page. I was like, I know it's 10. Actually, go back, Janae, to verse 44. Now, look at this. Now, they began to speak in tongues. The Bible says, while Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them, which heard the word. What happened to them? They got baptized with the Holy Ghost. And they of the circumcision, what's the circumcision? The Jews. The Jewish Christians that believed were astonished. So now you have Jewish, former Jews that are now Jewish Christians, Messianic Jews. They're Jews, but they believe in Jesus. They're astonished at something. What are they astonished? Because on the Gentiles, what's a Gentile? A Gentile is a non-Jewish. That would be all of us. I don't believe we have any Jewish people in here. A non-Jewish unbeliever. That was me prior to January 10th, 2002. I was a Gentile. And the Bible says that Peter was shocked because on the Gentiles, these people who weren't even in covenant with God, now they had gotten saved first. The Bible says it fell on them that heard the word, so they're born again. You can't get the Holy Ghost until you're born again. But they were still come from the Gentile camp. And Peter's got this thinking that the only blessings that really come from God are the ones that are going to the Jews. God's people. But now he sees, wow, the gift of the Holy Ghost was also poured out onto the Gentiles. You see that there? He was shocked because the same thing that happened to him in Acts chapter 2 now happened to them. Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen the Holy Ghost? No. How do you know when somebody's filled with the Holy Ghost? Well, I've had the pleasure of seeing the Holy Ghost. He stands about this tall. Runs around real fast. Remember, Abby threw a sheet over her head, ran through the house, said, I'm the Holy Ghost. I've seen the Holy Ghost. I've seen it. So you want to know what the Holy Ghost looks like? Just ask me. I can tell you. But we don't know what the Holy Ghost looks like. We've never seen him. That's why he's a ghost. Holy Ghost. Can't see him. But Peter said, same thing happened to them. They're filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, what happened? Did Peter see a dove, like when the Spirit of God came out of heaven in the form of a dove? Did Peter see that film? Did Peter see in the Spirit and see a tank that said, empty, now filled? No. Tells us in the next verse, verse 46. He said, the gift of the Holy Ghost was poured out for, or because, we know this happened because we heard them speak with tongues. Peter says, I remember getting filled in Acts chapter 2. When we were filled, the result was tongues. They're now filled. Why? They're speaking in tongues. And you go through the Word and you'll see every place it's either specifically said in the Bible or absolutely, positively, very easily assumed or referenced there that when somebody gets filled with the Holy Ghost, the result always is speaking in tongues. So now go back to Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. So Jesus said, don't leave until you get this. Why? Power. Supernatural, dynamic power. What would that do for your body? What would that do for your finances? What would that do for your children? What would that do for the answers you need? What would that do for the stuck places you're in? See, because a lot of times we're fighting things naturally. We're coming to a fight against a supernatural skilled being with natural forces. Now, you can come with the Word. The word is good too. But you can't. But the Word doesn't say that it brings you the dunamis power. The Word has its parts, right? So you don't just say, well, I'm just going to go at the enemy and go in this life with just the Word only, when the very Word also says, get the power too. Amen? Amen? The devil is in an unfair fight with a lot of the children of God who are out fighting a natural battle. There's things that you can't get over and get through in the natural. You need supernatural help. And so he says, wait, and you'll get this power. Well, they waited, and what happened? Verse 4 happened, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues. So, getting filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, you know what it does for you? It adds the element of the supernatural to your life. One minister said it this way, that tongues is the doorway into the supernatural. Hallelujah. At the end of this message, I'm going to do what I always do when I talk about the benefits. I'm going to go down through a list of mighty men and women of God that we know, that we've heard of me talk about, that we've even sat under their ministries, and tell you what they said about tongues and the element of the supernatural that was added to their life. So many people, and I don't know who all is here, is filled, and I know some of you are filled, and I'm assuming some people aren't filled in places you come from. You haven't ever heard this before. You don't want to go another day without the power. Why would you? Why would you do it? Amen. Why would you do it? It's like, well, I'm always saying to my Amish friends, you know, we can talk. So I say, you hate it so much, just get a car. It's not that easy for them, you know, obviously with their beliefs and things, and I don't disrespect them. We go back and forth. I say, just get a car. Well, just get the power, people. Just get the power. Why would you want to be out without it? Your mind will talk you out of it. Your flesh will try to talk you out of it. But the very pastor that you sit under week after week is telling you how great it is. How wonderful it is that I take part of it. So many of you are taking part of it. Amen. Amen. Go to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. Praise God. What do you think I was doing all the way here to church this morning in my truck? Praying in tongues. The whole way. Just praying in tongues. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 14, 2. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Now look at what it says here about speaking in tongues. We're going into the benefits. Power was number one. Number two, the benefit is direct access to God. You don't realize what a privilege and benefit that is, that the Bible says when you take time to speak in tongues, you're not just saying some empty language that's going out into the atmosphere and falling and hitting the ground kaput. You're not doing that. No. When you open your mouth and start to speak in tongues, your communication is directly in line with the Father. Amen. You ever seen back in Desert Storm, it was Norman, I think you say Norman Schwarzkopf was his name, was the main general. And they did a report on him, and there was a phone in his office, I believe it was red, and they said, what's that phone? They said, that phone is a direct line to the commander-in-chief. I don't have to go through anything else. I don't have to go through people. I don't have to mess around with service and stuff. It just, I dial that, and it gets me directly to the president. That's a blessing. When big decisions need to be made and don't want to go through all the red tape and things, and you got to get some things to the commander-in-chief, just pick that phone up. Well, you have a direct main line to the Father, and it comes through the avenue of speaking in other tongues. I'm amazed at people that put this down. I'm amazed at people that preach against it, that don't talk about it. I'm amazed at people that don't want it. Why wouldn't you want direct access? How intimate. What a privilege to have direct access. And it'll change your thinking when you pray in tongues. Because I know when you pray in tongues at times, your mind says, what good is this? What good is this? But when you renew it to the Word, oh, I know what good it is. I'm talking to God. My spirit's communicating. My mind might not know. And let me help you with that real quick, because I'm not talking about the benefits here in this. Your mind might not know what you're saying. Someone mowing the lawn. I mean, they're going to mow the lawn or sweep while I preach. In the storefront, they're sweeping. Here, they're going to mow it. Gets me, I guess. But I can talk louder than a lawnmower. You watch, I'll do it. But anyways, what was I even saying? What's that? The direct line to God. Amen, right? But then I was going further with it. What was I saying? The mind doesn't have understanding. Thank you. The mind doesn't have understanding, but the Bible says that he that prays in his own tongue, pray that he may interpret. So there's benefits to not even knowing, but the Bible says you can pray that you would interpret and know exactly what you're praying out. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, if you'll remember this, what benefit does it have to have direct access to God? Because look what it says here. Doesn't speak unto men. You see that there? Doesn't speak unto men. Speaks directly to God. You see that there? Well, what benefit would that have? Well, if you don't know the story in Daniel chapter 10, it might not mean much to you. But in Daniel chapter 10, the Bible says that Daniel's words that he prayed out, and that's what we're really going to focus on Wednesday night, is that we can't get anything done without prayer. Things in your life won't come to pass without prayer. We say, well, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. No, that's not true. And Daniel was praying to get things to change, get things to move. And the Bible says that when Daniel was praying, that the enemy, the devil, came for Daniel's words. What did he do? He came to hinder it. See, if you're releasing your faith for money, don't you think the devil could put some roadblocks in your way? If you're praying for your family, praying for this and that, the devil hears that prayer. Why? The devil can hear you talk English. But I truly believe it's one of the reasons this subject is fought so hard. Because the devil, just like your mind, can't stand praying in tongues because it's not involved. And when you pray in tongues, you'll see all the other benefits that will further, in lack of better words, tick the devil off and make him upset at this subject. Get you not to do it, get you not to want it, get people not to preach about it. I mean, there's churches don't even talk about it. Don't even ever mention it. They just skip over that whole portion of the Bible. I've been in them, you've been in them. It's true. A portion of the Bible that Jesus said is power, and Paul says I do all the time, are not even being discussed all over churches on Sunday mornings. Never will talk about it. People will live and die in a church and never hear this talked about. That's a shame. And the devil, for whatever reason, tells people it's wrong, tells people that's not for today, tells people it's not for everybody. All the lies that he gives you that are answered clearly by the Word. Keep people from doing it. And I believe the devil is on top of that because he can't hear what you're doing and he's your enemy. And the enemy likes to know what your plans are. In World War II, they had some people, about 400 to 500 people that had joined on in the armed forces that were from the Navajo Indian tribe. And they made a movie about them called Code Talkers. And what they would do is, the enemy would have people that could translate English. And so if you get over the walkie-talkie or the whatever radio communications that you have, and you say, okay, hey, we're moving to here, or we're bringing in reinforcements here, or whatever, you say your plans over there, just because they don't speak English, they have English translators say, okay, this is what they're saying. So to get around that, they brought in people that the enemies don't have. They don't have Navajo Indians in their camp. And so the Navajo Indians would then transmit the messages over the line that the enemy couldn't understand, and they called them code talkers, and it changed and was a great, great blessing for the United States. Amen. Tongues is a great, great strategic blessing against the enemy. He hates it. Because when you take off praying in tongues, on top of all the other benefits that happen, he's on the outside kicking and screaming, I want to be a part of this. What are they saying? What are they saying? It'd be like the enemy and hearing these Indians, Navajo Indians, come over the wire and over the transmission, over the broadcast, and thinking, what the heck are they saying? We don't know what they're doing. They're making plans, but we can't figure it out. A direct access to the Father. Praise God. Go to 1 Corinthians 14:4. So power, direct access to the Father. You've all heard, most of you have heard this before, but it's going to stir you up to pray more. I'm so stirred to pray after these meetings. Yeah. And it wasn't anything we never heard before. I will say one thing that I never heard before, and it cleared up so many questions, was when Paul said, and you have to go back to Sunday night to listen to it, when Paul said that love was the greater thing. And for so long, you think, man, he can't be saying love's greater than the spiritual gifts. Love is the access to the spiritual gifts. You need to hear that message, Sunday night's message from Fredonia. But anyways, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4 says this, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself." Now, before I start talking about edifying, the religious person and the person down on this will say, yeah, but that doesn't matter. The rest of the verse says, but he that prophesies edifies the church. And then Paul says in verse 5, I would that you all speak in tongues. What's he saying? I want you to all speak in tongues in verse 5. But it goes on to say, but rather that you prophesy. So taking a little rabbit trail of the doubters and the haters and the naysayers on this, they'll say, see, Paul said prophecy is greater in the church and that he would like you to speak in tongues, but he would rather you prophesy. So let's focus more on prophecy than we focus on tongues. That's true in the context and setting of a church. But Paul can't be saying, let's just prophesy, because he's not saying, I prophesy more than you all. He said, I speak in tongues more than y'all. But where was he speaking in tongues more than y'all? Not in church, in his private life. Because look what he says. But rather that you prophesied, for greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. What's he saying? And he goes on to say, now brethren, if I come to you speaking tongues, you're not going to understand what I'm saying. If I stand up here and speak in tongues, go back to verse 4 of Janae. It says, please, it says, it's nice to say please when you ask for something. If you speak in tongues, the Bible says you edify yourself. But he says in church, speaking in tongues, unless there's an interpreter, is no good. That's why you don't hear me come up on Sunday morning, stand behind the pulpit, and start speaking in tongues. Yes, I'd be edified. That's what the word says. But you wouldn't get a thing out of it. But I do stand up here and prophesy. Well, what's prophecy? Prophecy is not just future telling. In fact, the main gift of prophecy is when you speak unto people exhortation, edification, and comfort. When I'm up here telling you that you can be healed, up here preaching about your children, up here preaching about your life and the blessings, I'm prophesying to you. I'm speaking unto you exhortation, edification, and comfort for your life. Well, that's way better than me speaking in tongues unless there's an interpreter. That's what the word says. But the churches that are not knowledgeable to this, they use that and say, nope, see? Amen. But look what Paul said. So why is Paul praying in tongues all the time? Because he likes to stay edified. Because what does that word edify mean? Well, it means to build up or to charge up. Or one translation says, rising higher like an edifice, rising higher, higher, and higher. So the Bible says, he that takes time to speak in an unknown tongue, something happens to them. They charge up. They're built up. They're stronger, praise God. Go with me real quick. Hold your place here and go to Jude. Jude is the book right before Revelation. There's only one chapter in the book of Jude. Go to Jude verse 20. Go to Jude verse 20, chapter 1 and verse 20. Jude said this, but you, beloved, building up yourselves. Do you see that there? Well, why would you want to be built up? Well, I already told you. Now, we can't be talking about being built up naturally. How do I know? My biceps have yet to grow after a session of praying in tongues. My thigh muscles, you know, they don't grow. My calf muscles don't grow when I'm praying in tongues. Built up is not talking about a natural building up. It's talking about being spiritually built up. Well, the devil's a spirit. I used this example last night. You know, Mike Tyson, when he was in his prime, was a terror. I mean, the boxing world had never seen anything like him. He was a monster. And he'd get into that ring, you know, and they'd set fights maybe 6 months to a year in advance, and they would start training, and, you know, he would eat the right things. He'd be in the gym, and he'd be cardiovascularly fit. His body was chiseled. He was muscular. He was strong. He had force behind his punches. Well, what was he doing preparing for that fight? Building himself up. He wasn't sitting around becoming lazy and lethargic. He wasn't on some nutritional program that would leave him famished and malnourished. No. He's building himself up. Why? He's got a battle coming against a big opponent, a strong person. Right? Well, when you're getting ready to step in a ring against someone that can clean your clock and knock your socks off, You want to make sure you're built up and you're strong and that you've trained and that your punches have power and that your muscles can withstand the blows and that you're cardiovascularly fit enough to withlast and withstand that, right? Imagine putting somebody who has an eating disorder against Mike Tyson. I'm not coming against eating disorders or making light of them. But with an eating disorder like anorexia, what you find a lot of times is the person is malnourished, they're scrawny, and they're weak physically, right? I mean, you don't eat for a couple days, you feel it, right? Imagine putting someone that's anorexic in the ring with Mike Tyson. He doesn't even have to do very much. It doesn't matter how hard that person's trying. It doesn't matter how bad that person wants it. If they're not built up and strong, it doesn't matter. They're going to get thumped. And here Christians go out into the battle of life every day against an enemy that is so skilled and trained and built up in his supernatural power. And he, blow by blow, strike by strike, comes against us. In our mind, in our emotions, in our bodies, in our family, in our finances. And we want to get better. And we want to change. And we try our hardest. And we come up short a lot of times. Why? We're in an unfair fight. We step into that ring, in that arena, not built up. And we wonder why depression reigns supreme to the Christian's life. Because they can't overcome the thoughts. We wonder why fear grips the Christian. The devil can just launch his attacks and we're completely afraid and completely worried and completely stressed. And our faith is low and the circumstances of sickness and symptoms and the checkbook and what our kids are doing, it's like they just knock us around and we don't have the faith that we need to be victorious because we're not built up. We haven't taken time in the spiritual gym. Go back to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4. Jude said, build yourself up, build yourself. Whose job is it to make sure you're built up? You. Building up yourselves. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Okay, I see it now. That's why Paul could write from prison, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And not start writing things about doubting God and I don't understand, and why is this happening to me? No, he just attacked it head on with faith. Now I see why in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas in prison, beaten, naked, stripped down, and just and hurt and abused, and in a dark place, can lift their voice at midnight and pray and sing praises to God. Why? He's so built up that no matter what the devil does to him, he's coming back with a harder punch. It's the truth. Now we see why Paul was so victorious and powerful and had influence he had on the earth. What was he doing the whole time? He said, I pray in tongues more than y'all. What's he doing the whole time? Plugging into the supernatural power pack. That's what he's doing. He's so filled with supernatural power day by day. It doesn't matter what the devil does to him. Amen. You see, real quick, go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. Hallelujah. I just want to let you know, what I'm telling you today, if you'll put this in practice, will change your life. It will absolutely change your life. Your world will not be the same. Because it's not the same. If you put it, if you take the Amish, and my Amish friends are a little lenient. I mean, you should see the hunting equipment they have. You talk about not, I have a hard time believing they don't believe in electronics. But there are some different sects of Amish, they don't have nothing to do with any of the power, you know. I mean, they're just different ones, you know, different standards. But if you take those that want no electricity, want nothing at all, no lights, no tools and equipment and things, like my buddy Jonas that does all the work for me, he doesn't have a vehicle, but he bought himself a skid loader and drives that around town. And somehow it's okay to him. But some of them aren't even allowed to do that, you know. They're not allowed to do that. So if you take those ones that don't have any power and you put them in my life, that's going to change their world. And they're going to start realizing, man, it's a lot easier to take a shower with a light bulb. It's a lot easier to brush my teeth and to do what I need to do in front of the mirror when I can see clearly. Wow, I don't have to plan this long to run down to Walmart. Life's going to get easier. You wait and see if you start doing this, how life changes for you. Why power? Amen. Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. What's he saying? It's not going to bring anything. If you're carnal and constantly just conduct your life in the natural, it won't lead to the blessings that you need and want. He says, but if you, notice this, through the Spirit, mortify. To mortify means to squash, to kill, to put to naught. If you mortify the deeds of the body, you'll live. What's he saying? Don't live naturally. Don't be carnal. Live spiritually. You do realize your carnal behavior is not helping you. Let me give you an example. The Bible says that your faith only works when love is powering it. Well, you need faith. You can't receive without it. You can't be victorious. You can't quench the darts of the enemy without it. Well, when you walk out of love, what's walking out of love? Snapping at your spouse? Snapping at your coworker? Being bitter? Holding grudges? Right? Unforgiving? Making somebody pay? I heard someone on the radio, a sports show, was a lady, she said, and I said, oh, she didn't realize how she sabotaged her life. She said, I'm a very petty person, and when you wrong me, I'm not going to forgive you. I thought, oh, Lord, you've just completely closed off any opportunity for God to move in your life. Yeah. Well, why do we do that? Why do we snap? Why do we hold grudges? Why are we bitter? Why do we walk in unforgiveness? Because we're carnal. That's not the Spirit acting that way. That's your flesh acting that way. Well, it's not helping you. It's squashing your faith. And the Bible says through the Spirit, you can mortify the deeds of the body. What am I saying? You pray lots in tongues, guess what's going to be built up? Your spirit man. Supernatural love and power will flow from you when you're pressed upon. Dip a sponge in Kool-Aid. Pull the sponge out. Press on it. Milk doesn't come out. Kool-Aid does. You're filled with God, you get pressed on, guess what comes out? God. And guess what God is? Love, mercy, peace, grace, kindness. To keep your faith in line. Some of you are so, you have to walk on eggshells around you just because you're nothing but a carnal bucket. You're filled with carnality. You are. You get chippy, and you know why people get offended? They're filled with car. Well, I don't like this church anymore. I don't want to be in this church anymore. But God called you there, and the word's being preached, and all these ministers coming through, but I don't want to be here anymore. You're a carnal bucket. If you're filled with God, you're not speaking that way. Well, I want to have my own way. I want my way. I want my way or the highway. You're just carnal. That's not what God would say. But see, when you're filled with Him, that's what will come out of you. Now let me take it a step further and help you even further. There's no condemnation with this. Everybody's had their stuff. We're all progressing, right? You know why you struggle with habits and addictions? Your flesh. It's just your flesh. Your flesh is crying out for that thing. Your flesh is loud and strong. And what? Your spirit doesn't want to do those things. Again, no condemnation. Please don't misunderstand me. But those things you're doing carnal are not helping you. Well, your spirit man is like, let's not do this anymore. There's a better way to live here. But your flesh is so loud and powerful because you've taken so much time to build that up that your little spirit man is like that anorexic person getting in the ring, just hitting as hard as he can, and Mike Tyson's just standing there. Timber! And here we are. We try to battle these things over. Oh, I'm going to quit tomorrow. I know I need to lose weight. I know I need to lose weight for my health. And let me just say that. If that pertains to you and the doctors are telling you something, I would lose the weight. I'm just telling you, a lot of times we claim our healing, pray for our healing, this and that, and we have a part to play. Diet and exercise are huge. They're huge. They just are. Hallelujah. But I'll start tomorrow. I'm going to change my diet tomorrow. I'm going to start implementing vegetables and fruit and start eating better tomorrow and cutting back on things. I'm going to start tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes and your flesh is like, take me to McDonald's. Big Mac. Lay on the couch, Cheetos. And I'm not saying in moderation those things are bad. Don't misunderstand me. But you talk to a doctor and they'll tell you. A lot of the reasons that people are in here having trouble, it's not because the devil's after you. It's because you're doing the wrong things naturally, right? But why can't we stick to that eating better? And why can't we stick to putting that thing down? Your flesh is too loud. Right. But if you'll build yourself up spiritually, You'll start to watch those addictions become easier and easier to say no to. Why? Because you through the Spirit will mortify. If you'll do it through the Spirit, you can take care of any natural problem. Amen. It's the truth. That love walk problem that you have, that grudge that you feel like you never can forgive. Oh, if you'll pray in tongues enough and be built up enough, you'll start to see things through the eyes of God. Amen. I'm amazed at people that say, I'll never forgive. And I think to myself, thank God God didn't take that stance with you. You'd be going to hell. You'd be going to hell. You know how God can see people through that way, no matter what they've done to him? Because he's God and he's love. And if you fill yourself with God, you know what's going to come out of you? Love. Amen. You know why God didn't struggle and Jesus didn't struggle with addictions and wrong habits and being lazy and not going to church? The Bible says as Jesus' custom or habit was, he went to church. And when he went to church, he served. He didn't have bad habits. He wasn't lazy. He didn't have a bad mouth. Didn't fly off at the handle. You want to know why? He was filled with God. And God came out of him. Amen. You take time praying in tongues, you watch how much easier it is to be around your family. How much easier it is to go to the job that you can't stand. How much easier it is to forgive somebody that's wronged you. How much easier it is to take time praying in tongues to say no to that, whatever that problem is. Amen. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. Got to hurry here. It seems like this is always the case. What in the world? But we're having subs today. I know. I got my own private one sitting on my desk. That's there, waiting for me. 1 Corinthians 14:2. I probably shouldn't say that. Also, I'll start seeing people go to the bathroom a lot more. Coming back with crumbs, I'll go in my office and be like, we got mice problem in here. I'm not telling you anymore. Stay out of there. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, he that speaks in unknown tongues speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. Howbeit in the spirit, it's a spiritual exercise, he speaks mysteries. When you speak in tongues, you're praying forth mysteries. Now, this will help you a lot more on Wednesday night when I talk about how nothing can be accomplished, even if it's God's plan, without prayer. Now, think about what a mystery is. The plan of God for your life's a mystery. Who you're going to marry, what job to take, where should I live, what should I do around the next corner, what's going to happen a year from now. How many of you know you'd be much more in a place of advantage if you knew the future? Well, the Bible says when you speak in tongues, you're praying forth these mysteries. If you don't know what to do and are stuck trying to figure something out, pray in tongues. That mystery will be revealed to you. Well, I don't know what to do about that situation. Pray in tongues about it. The mystery will be revealed. Hallelujah. Janae, will you pull that up in the Amplified? Praise God. For one who speaks in unknown tongues doesn't speak to men, but to God. No one understands him or catches meaning because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truths and hidden things. Secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. Sounds like the future. Praying out mysteries. Now, we talked about this, that when you pray in tongues, who are you talking to? God. Janae, will you pull up Jeremiah 33 and verse 3? And would you pull it up in the Amplified, please? Jeremiah 33 in verse 3. Now remember, praying in tongues, you're praying out mysteries. You speak in tongues, you're speaking to God. Call to me. Well, wouldn't be praying in tongues be calling to him? Yeah, that's talking to him. He said, and I'll answer you and I'll show you. God's a God of show and tell. Well, what does he want to show you if you'll call on him? Great and mighty things. Ooh, that sounds good. But things that are fenced in and hidden, which you do not know, do not distinguish and not recognize and have knowledge of and understand. What's he talking about? I'll answer you and show you mysteries. Wow. What did Jesus say to the disciples in John 16:13? He said, the Holy Ghost will show you things to come. What's that mean? Show you the future. One of the greatest benefits of praying in tongues is for things that we don't know by our mind, things that are hidden from us, answers that we can't see in the present, and things that are coming up down the pipe, down the pipeline, to be revealed to us. Do you realize what a benefit that is? I'll just give you a couple examples because I want to get through this. In 2009, I was working for Jim and Sue, and I was working in the cherry orchard, picking up brush and taking the tractor, dumping down over the bank. And I was by myself that day. I just had my MP3 player, and I was just praising God and speaking in tongues all day. I think I was there for 9 hours that day and just prayed and spoke in tongues the whole day, just edifying, praying things out. And that wasn't the only day I did it, but a lot of times I wasn't alone, so you don't want to be a weirdo. Don't go walking through the mall, top of your lungs, praying in tongues, and you're waiting in line at the bank, and your bank teller's like, "The world? Don't be a weirdo." Amen? And so I wasn't a weirdo, and when I was by myself, I was praying all day, and it was all of a sudden dropped on me, a mystery. And the Holy Ghost revealed to me and said, a year from now, in September of 2010, you will start a church in South Dayton, New York. Now let me tell you something. That was a benefit, knowing that. I could now start releasing my faith for that. I could now start coming in this area and looking for a natural, there's a natural side to things, right, that you got to do. Start praying for people. Start praying for this area. I knew a year in advance. When I was the parking lot attendant at the Jamestown Church, and I would say hi to the people, and in between the time the people would come and show up to have their cars parked, I would pray in tongues. And just be, what? Speaking unto God, praying out mysteries. And it was revealed to me one Sunday morning, you will pastor someday. That word changed my life. I began to then talk to my pastor about it, and he confirmed it. I tried to tell him I heard that I'd be an evangelist because I was embarrassed, because I had so much respect for Pastor Michael. And we went out to eat at Ruby Tuesdays, and he said, "What's God been dealing with you about?" I said, "Yeah, I think he's telling me I'm going to be an evangelist." He said, "Okay." So we got back to my house, and we're going to have dessert, and he says, "What's God been dealing with you about?" And I said, "Pastor Michael, I told you, evangelist." Now I'm sitting here lying my face off to my pastor. Because I was embarrassed, you know. And he pointed at me and said, "I asked you, what has God been dealing with you about?" I said, "All right, I'm embarrassed to tell you this. If I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. But I believe I've heard that I'm going to pastor someday." I never thought in a million years that I would be a pastor. I knew I had a call of God on my life, but didn't know what it was. And he pointed at me and said, "You've heard from heaven." He started to talk to me about some things, and then I was able to be trained by him and to learn about the pastor's office and to pray years before it happened. Years. Hallelujah. Pastor Michael said he's at the point where he's about 2 to 3 years ahead in his praying. What's that mean? God reveals to him things that are going to happen 2 or 3 years. You don't realize what a benefit that is. Most Christians live just reactively. This happens, I got to react to it. Oh no, I didn't see that coming. Oh my gosh, what just happened? When God says you can live proactively and know the test that's coming. You can know the problems that's coming. You can know the situation that's coming. Why wouldn't you want that? Praise God. Hallelujah. So that's one of the greatest benefits. See, praying in tongues allows us to access the mysteries. They're not a mystery to God. They're a mystery to us. But praying in tongues allows Him to reveal them to us. Romans 8:26. Wow, 11:34. Would you give me 5 to 10 minutes? What are you going to say? No? I know it's not even a fair question. Some of you should just say, "No, get out and storm out of here and show me once and for all. Pastor, tired of this extra business that you're giving us." Romans 8:26. Look at this now. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities." Well, that word infirmity is not sickness. It's the word weakness. What weakness do we have? Well, it tells us the rest of the verse. We know not what we should pray for as we ought to. What's our weakness? There's times we don't know what to pray for. That's a weakness. Why? Because the Bible says in 1 John 5 that the way we get God's attention and get our prayers answered is to ask God according to His will. If we ask according to His will, the Bible says He hears us. If we know He hears us, we know we have. So if there's a situation and we don't know His will, we can't take off praying some doubt and unbelief in prayer, because God only answers the prayers that are according to His will. Well, I had somebody one time, they were on a tractor, and they called me in a panic. And they said, "Pastor Mike, earlier today I was on the tractor, and God revealed to me that I need to pray for you, and that I need to pray for you right now. But I had trouble getting a hold of you all day, didn't have service or whatever, couldn't get a hold of you, and I don't know what it is. What is it?" I said, "I don't know. As far as I know, everything's great. Thanks for worrying me. Their heart was right. But see, the Holy Ghost gives us the opportunity, and I'll show you this, finishing this verse. That's a weakness for that guy. What if you wake up in the middle of the night and the Lord puts a family member on your heart at 2 in the morning? Well, what are you going to do? Wake up 2 more and say, hey, what's the problem? What's going on? What do you need? They might say, I don't know. Because maybe it hasn't come yet. But prayer is going to change and divert some things. And we'll see that so clear in Acts chapter 12 on Wednesday night, that without prayer, things are lost. Bad things happen. Things that should never have happened happen when there's no prayer. Things that you're to walk into in your life and supposed to experience will never happen without prayer. And that's what we're going to stress Wednesday. I'd suggest you be here if you can, and if you absolutely can, of course, listen by live stream. But don't just let laziness and I don't go to church on Wednesdays keep you from this precious, precious stuff. Because you need to see this. Now I'm telling you what to do. Wednesday I'm going to give you the light under your butt to get you to do it. Light a fire under you. Well, what if you get something you don't know what to pray for? What are they going through? Well, the Bible tells us that's a weakness. But the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. But, that's okay. The Spirit Himself, it should say, makes intercession for us. What's it says? He does it for us. With groanings which cannot be uttered or understood. Well, what does that sound like? Unknown tongues. So the Bible says that when we don't know what to pray for, maybe a family member is going through a situation, maybe you encounter something and you don't have a specific scripture on it, or you don't even know what the scripture is, the Holy Ghost will lead you to a scripture because the Word is always your answer. But there are specific things in life. Should I marry that person? Should I take that job? You won't find a verse on it. We find general principles, but for specifics, What do I do? How do I pray for that? Pray in tongues, and the Bible says that the Holy Ghost will make the intercession for you through your tongue. Now it goes on to say, verse 27, he that searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. Now notice this, because he makes intercession. So we just talked about that when you don't know, the Holy Ghost will make intercession for you. But why is it so valuable? It's because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Why is that important? Remember what I told you. Your prayers only get answered when you pray the will of God. So when you don't know a situation, you can't just start praying any old thing, because just praying any old thing won't get the job done. But when Farmer So-and-so is on his tractor and he gets Pastor Mike on his heart, the answer is not to call me and ask me, because I might not know. And he doesn't know. Does he need money? Does he need protection? Is it in his family? Is it with the church? There's a whole lot of things. But if you take the Holy, say to the Holy Ghost, because remember, the Holy Ghost hears from heaven. And a situation like that, when you don't know what to pray for, if I was Farmer Brown, this is what I would do if I was Farmer Brown. That wasn't the guy's last name. But there's a lot of Farmer Browns out there. You've heard of Farmer Brown, right? I mean, there's... Am I the only one that knows Farmer Brown around here? You guys looking like you don't know Farmer Brown. He's real. Anyways, Farmer Brown I'm on a tractor, and my pastor, oh man, pray for Pastor Michael. Okay, well, I don't need to be nosy, and maybe he doesn't even know, and I'm not getting any leading, so I say, Holy Ghost, the Word says in Romans chapter 8 that you'll help me with this. This is a weakness I have. Prayer makes power, but it's a weakness. I don't know what to pray for. Do I believe God for money? Do I come in agreement with money? Does he need health? Does he need protection? Does he need angels? I don't know. And he might not know either. But Holy Ghost, you know. So I ask you right now, Holy Spirit, help me to pray for him according to the perfect will of God. And what I do is then I take off praying in tongues. And even though my mind doesn't understand it, I'm assured that the Holy Ghost is going to pray out the perfect will of God for that situation. Because remember, the example that I give that is so clear to me is the Bible says that the Holy Ghost is your helper. I used the example last night with Jake. I said, if the pulpit, you know, I can pick it up. It's not hard to pick this up and move this. I don't need someone else to help me. But let's say it was 5 times the weight that it is now, or 10 times the weight. And maybe I could still move it or drag it, but it's a lot easier to get somebody on the other end of that. And I said, Jake, would you come up and help me move this pulpit? And Jake says, sure, I'll help you, Pastor. Well, he becomes my helper, and the Holy Ghost is your helper. He's waiting to help you. And so if I ask Jake and say, Jake, will you come up and help me move the pulpit? And he agrees to that. He doesn't then come up and say, all right, Pastor, let's go to the speaker. He doesn't come over to the plant and say, all right, Pastor, let's do it. No, as my helper, he's come up to the other side of the pulpit and helped me. If I ask the Holy Ghost, help me to pray for Pastor Michael according to the perfect will of God, and I take off praying in tongues, even though my mind doesn't know, he's my helper. I asked him to help me to pray for Pastor Michael, and he said by the word, I'll do it according to the perfect will of God. Doesn't that help you to know, to see that way? And then look what it says in verse 28. When you pray, not only will it bless people, it bless your own life. Because there's things you don't know how to pray for your future, or what to pray for your future. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. This verse tells us that all things that happen work together for your good. Now, a lot of Christians misquote this. And when things go wrong in their life, they stand on the verse and say, well, this is bad, but it's going to turn out for my good, according to Romans 8:28. But no, Romans 8:28 starts with the word and. That means it's connected to verse 27 and 26. What he's saying is if you'll take time to pray in a Holy Ghost, praying out the perfect will of God, that's what happens when you pray in the Holy Ghost, according to the will of God, he said, things then will work out for your good. Even when they're bad, you say, no, that's going to turn for my favor. Praise God. Now, in closing, two things. One, you don't have to feel it to do it. One minister told about the time he took an 8-hour car ride. The whole time they prayed in tongues. After 8 hours, they pulled into their place, turned their car off, and were disappointed. No angel, no word from heaven. The fire didn't fall. The glory didn't fall on the vehicle. And they started to be disgruntled. And I can't remember if they said it out loud or the Lord just read their thoughts. But their thoughts or whatever they said was, well, that was worthless. I mean, because they thought, man, you pray in tongues for 8 hours. That's a long session of praying in tongues. Something surely is going to happen. And the Holy Ghost spoke up to that minister and said, is my word not true? Is my word not true? What do you mean, is my word not true? Did I not say if you pray in tongues, you'll pray according to my will? Yes, you said that. Did I not say if you pray in tongues, you pray out mysteries? Yes, you said that. Did I not say when you pray, we didn't even look at James, we'll look at that on Wednesday about making power available. Did I not say that power would be made available? Yes, you did, Lord. Did I not say that you would be edified, charged, and built up if you pray in tongues? Yes, you said that, Lord. The Lord said, does it have anything to do with you feeling it or not? No. There's been times that maybe I'm on a workout program and run 5 miles or whatever, and you're going to run 5 miles, and whether or not it's high intensity training, we're going to do it low, and then for a little bit of time, you go all out and drop it down, or maybe you're just keeping a steady pace. Let's say you're going to run for an hour on the treadmill, and you're going to set it at a certain speed. Well, when you get on that treadmill and you run for a certain speed, you're burning a certain amount of calories according to how much you weigh and how much intensity you're putting out. It's science. Numbers. Well, those numbers don't change if you run this. Now, remember, you're running the same speed. The treadmill's not changing. Those numbers don't change if you got on feeling like it or got on not feeling like it. If you got on and just did the program because of science and numbers and how much you weigh and how much output, you're burning the same amount of calories if you felt like it or if you didn't. That came down to just doing it. It doesn't matter if you feel like something's happening. You feel like you're moving heaven and earth. You feel like mysteries are being prayed out. You feel like something's getting done. Just do it. Oh, it helped me so much. Pastor Michael at dinner after one of the meetings said, 90-some% of everything I do, I don't feel like doing it. I don't pray because I feel like doing it. I pray because I know it's the right thing to do for myself and for the ministry. I don't feel like reading my Bible. It's more fun to sit down and watch a movie in the flesh. Helps me. You don't have to feel it to do it. In fact, that's the mark of a spiritual person. When you don't feel like it, you do it. Now, let me just say this real quick. John G. Lake, talking about praying in tongues and adding the supernatural element to your life. John G. Lake, 100,000 confirmed medical healings. Not somebody that came up and said, well, I had a headache and I was in service and I got healed. Praise God for those. We're talking about medical problems that doctors say are no more. 100,000 confirmed medical healings in 5 years. 20,000 a year. We got work to do. The U.S. government called Seattle, Washington, he was in the early 1900s, called Seattle, Washington the healthiest city in America. He once had a sample of the bubonic plague, which was put under a microscope, and people saw the scientists and they saw the living organism. Doctors said, wow, that's the bubonic plague. He said, put it in my hand. He said, we can't do that. You can't come in contact with that. You're going to be sick. He said, put it in my hand. It hit his hand. They put it back under the microscope, and the power of God killed all that. What am I trying to say? He was a man of power. He had 1 million people that got saved in his ministry. 625 churches he started. I'm at 2. It's going to be hard to catch him. 1,250 preachers came up out of under his ministry that are out preaching the word, starting churches, doing things. And you know what John G. Lake said? He said, the making of my ministry has been speaking in tongues. That's what Paul said. I do it all the time. It's the only thing Paul said he did all the time. Smith Wigglesworth, remember him? Barely read and write, uneducated. Raised a handful of people from the dead. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Praise God. He said, I'm one of the biggest conundrums. You know, people ask, how do I have such power? How am I able to do the things I do? I can't read or write. I don't have no formal education. It's said that in a letter one time, he misspelled the Holy Spirit 7 different ways. That's hard to do. That's how uneducated he was, but through that man with such power, signs, wonders, and miracles, a boldness of God, right? Woke up one night in the middle of the night, and the manifested presence of the devil was in his bedroom. Most of us would have had to need a change of underwear. Woke up and the devil himself is in his bedroom. Smith Wigglesworth looked at him and said, oh, it's just you, rolled over and went back to sleep. That'll tick the devil off. But that's someone that's filled with God. You think God trembles at the devil? No. Why did Smith Wigglesworth not tremble at the devil? He's filled with God. You know what he said? He said, the secret of my success has been praying in tongues. What? The supernatural. You want the supernatural to start popping in your life? Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Start praying in tongues a lot. Those of you that are already filled, start praying in tongues a lot. Brother Hagin. You know, the only one that's responsible for all these churches, the word of faith, all that, you know. Signs, wonders, and miracles, foremost prophet of God. God used him mightily on the earth. Jesus, many visions, revelations that we live off of. Brother Hagin said, as I said earlier, the greatest things that ever happened to me in my walk with God. He's not talking about ministry. Now, his walk with God includes his ministry, but this isn't just for ministers. The greatest things that ever happened to me in my walk with God, the greatest healing miracles, the greatest financial breakthroughs. Anybody need some of those? And deliverances. Some people need some deliverances. Came after I spent a prolonged length of time praying in tongues. That's 3 people that were mighty on this earth, that moved heaven and earth, that contributed to tongues. Well, you could add 4. Paul said, I do it all the time. Lester Summerall, apostle of faith, sat under Smith Wigglesworth, Dr. Frank, Pastor Nancy, sat under Lester Summerall. Just a bold apostle. Miracles, signs, and wonders under his ministry. They asked him, they said, how often do you pray in tongues, Dr. Summerall? He said, when I'm not preaching. What's he saying? All the time. Wake up praying, go to bed praying, shower praying, walk down the street praying, driving my car praying in tongues. Pastor Nancy Dufresne, her whole world changed. She got hooked up with Dr. Dufresne. Her whole world went from chaos, crisis, and a mess within a few weeks. A short time, met Dr. Dufresne. They became the dream team. Now she's ahead of a ministry and is, I mean, the baddest in the land. Pastor Nancy Dufresne attributes it to a prolonged time where she spent for 3 weeks praying in tongues and her whole life turned around. What power stepped in. You see, when God steps in, God's power doesn't care that there's a body of water. It doesn't move him. I'll raise that body of water up. I'll make the ground hard now. Why? Because I'm full of supernatural power. God doesn't care that there's lions that can eat you. When God's involved, there's supernatural power. God doesn't care that there's a giant. When God's involved, it doesn't matter. His power moves things. Things will start moving for you. And then there's a minister by the name of Pastor Mike Anderson. And I mean, John G. Lake, who cares? Brother Hagin, big whoop. Smith Wigglesworth. Pastor Nancy. What do I say about it? I know you're dying to know. I mean, you're thinking the whole time. You're sitting there, who cares about all these people? We want to know what you say, Pastor. Of course, for those of you that don't understand sarcasm, right now you think I am very arrogant and have a big head. But for those of you that know sarcasm, you know that I'm just messing. But I will say this as your pastor. It's the second greatest thing that's ever happened to me outside of getting born again was getting filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking with our tongues. It changed my world. Amen? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's worship God today. Father, we bless you. We glorify your name and honor you. Now, just listen up. I know everybody in here is born again, and that's the criteria. But if you're listening by live stream right now and you're not saved, you have never received Jesus, and you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you don't have to be here to get filled with the Holy Ghost. But if you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you got to get saved first. You got to receive Jesus. That's what being saved means. And there's two qualifications to getting saved that you have to check off those boxes. And number one is you got to believe in Jesus. John 3:16 says, whoever believes in him will not perish. And the other qualification is that you have to receive him. You have to ask him into your heart. So if you're listening by live stream and you say, I've never received Jesus. I thought being a good person and going to church got me in. That's not how you get in. But you can say, I do believe in Jesus. Just cry out to him and say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you're real. And I believe that you died, and I believe that you rose again, and I ask you to come into my life. I make you my Lord and Savior. If you pray that and mean it, he'll save it. God will become your Father. Now you'll be have the opportunity to receive the Holy Ghost. Now, Josh, I want to set an atmosphere here. If you go on the iPad and go to library, and I think the very last song in the library is There's Something About That Name. Not on the pre-list, the pre-service list. You actually have to go to library on the iPad. And if you need help with that, I can do it. But There's Something About That Name. If you can find that song and play that song, are you finding it? And just go ahead and play that, and I'll tell you the volume to play that at. And if you could just keep, when it's over, just restart it every time until we're done. This is what I want to do this morning. I want to give people an opportunity to receive this gift that I received that so many of you have already received. Now, for those that have already received it, I'm going to ask that you stay in your seats and pray in tongues. To help set the stage. You know, we preached about it. It wouldn't be wrong to pray in tongues right now. Plus, it'll make people comfortable that are coming forward. And for those of you that have never prayed in tongues, and you're just not going to come forward, just worship God. But right now, if you want to receive this gift, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the evidence of speaking in other tongues, adding that supernatural, a lot of people say, something's been missing. You're going to find out that was the missing link, the power. So heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's just close our eyes in the congregation. We're not trying to embarrass anybody. We're not trying to point you out, but there's an anointing to receive it. I know how to get people filled with the Holy Ghost. I have really good success at it because we do the Word. And last night, three people received it. Jake's son, Jacob, got it in the service last week. If you want to receive it, again, heads are bowed, eyes closed, come forward and receive. We're just going to give it a minute because sometimes people are a little nervous or shy, and the Holy Ghost will work on your heart. One lady came up after about, you know, as two people had come up, but then she came up last and received it. Praise God. Father, we worship you. Go ahead and lift your voice and pray in tongues if you speak in tongues. And if you want to receive that gift, don't let this moment pass you by. Come forward. Get it. You don't know what life will be like with that supernatural power. God's working on hearts right now.